Book of Psalms, Psalm 11 this morning, and we're going to read one verse this morning. That's verse 3, and as our custom is, when we have one verse that we read, I'll read through the first time aloud, you'll read silently, and then we'll read together in unison the second time through on verse 3. As you find in your place, please stand to your feet as we give honor to the Word of God this morning as we read the Word of God together. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's read that together. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Father, I pray that you'd bless us and help us to listen intently today. Hear what the preacher has for us. Hear what your word has for us this morning. God, we want to start our new year out right, and being here is the right thing. But God, we want to hear what the word of God has for us today. So speak to us. Help us to be obedient to thy word, starting out this new year. And Father, if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from their sin, I pray they'd settle it before they leave today. And Father, for all this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to leave our text verse this morning. I'll explain why in just a moment. While you're turning there, make sure you also turn your cell phone off or to vibrate. Make sure it is off or vibrate, please, one or the other. If you're not sure what off or vibrate means, if it goes off during the service, one of the ushers will come with a stick and show you what that means. So help us today and do that. We would appreciate that very much. The reason I'm having you turn this morning from the text is because Psalm 11 and verse 3 is going to be our text verse to start the messages for these next several weeks. In our church on Sunday mornings, we do two things. Number one, in Sunday school, all of our adult classes and our teenage classes start with a series of what we call basic training lessons. They're intended to teach each and every one of us the basics of the Christian life. If you've never been to Sunday school in this church, I highly recommend you come these next several weeks. We will teach you the basics of biblical Christian belief and practice. And if you'd like to know what Shasta Baptist Church believes, we won't be able to cover it all, but we'll give you a pretty good foundation on what we believe. Sunday school's at 10 o'clock. Highly recommend you come for that. Then Sunday mornings, in these morning services here with the adults, I preach a series of messages of truths from the Bible that will help us with this next year. We don't know what the year holds. We do know that we'll elect or re-elect a president this year. There's a national election this year. We know that there'll be all sorts of things that lie ahead of us of which we are uncertain. They did the review of the year last year, and imagine the things that happened this past year that shocked you. Oh, this happened, that happened. These folks went to heaven, this happened, this took place. We don't know all the particular details of this next year. We don't know if America will make it to the next election. You say, well, I mean, America. Come on, Pastor Johnson. Let me ask you a question. Where's the Soviet Union? How fast did that empire fall? And that was the second greatest empire in the world at the time. We don't know that Jesus is going to come back before November. Be all right with me. Be okay if he came today, as a matter of fact. So there's uncertainty about this next year. Listen now, but I believe this. I believe if we'll take some simple truths from God's Word and apply them like we should, this next year will be a great year for us. God will do some great things in our lives. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, excuse me. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Psalms, we read the verse that says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Just like everything in life, if the foundation is not right, nothing's going to turn out right. We understand that in building principles. We understand that in every area. Do you understand that's true in your life? The foundations of your life need to be set, established, and maintained, because if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So these next several weeks, we're going to give you some foundational truths that will help you this year. Now listen, some things you and I need to establish. I guarantee you this, none of it will be new to you. If you've been in church for very long, the subject this morning is faith. That's not a new thing to anybody. But believe me, it is the foundation upon which everything is going to be built this year in your life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we want to talk to you this morning about what kind of faith has substance to it. Now let's understand this about faith this morning. First of all, everybody has faith. Everybody does. Say, no, Pastor Johnson, I'm one of those kind of people. I only believe in what I can see. No, you don't. You have faith in what you don't see. You believe in that. Faith means to believe, to have confidence. It means to have a dependence. And everybody has faith in something. Everybody, even atheists have faith. Now, they'll tell you they don't, but they do. They'll say they don't believe that there's a God. Now, that's about as dumb as a rock, bro. You know that? You're crippled too high for crutches. That's why the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But everybody has faith. Atheists believe in something. I remember sitting in an airplane, flying somewhere, country, preaching, and I sit next to a man. He saw my Bible, and he said, oh, you're a man of faith. And I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I'm a Christian. Yes, sir. And he said, I'm an atheist. He said, I don't believe in God. He said, you ever seen God? I said, no, sir. I said, but have you ever seen the wind? He said, of course I have. I said, no, you haven't. You've seen what the wind does, but you've never seen the wind. I said, question, do you believe in George Washington? He said, well, of course I do. I said, you ever seen George? He said, now that's a little bit simplistic. I said, no, it's not. I'm just trying to tell you, you believe in stuff you don't see. Just because I haven't seen God doesn't mean I haven't seen His working in life. Just like you've seen the wind, no, you've seen the effect of the wind. You believe in stuff you've never seen before. Before we were done, I did not get to lead the man to Christ, but he wasn't an atheist when we were finished. He was an agnostic. And I taught him the principle of why an atheist. I said, you know, the Bible says an atheist is a fool, which doesn't go well with atheists. But he said, what do you mean by that? I said, let me show you. And I took a napkin, drew a circle in the napkin. I said, let's say within this circle is all the knowledge available to mankind in this world today, all of it within this circle. How much of it would you say you have? He said, well, I'm not sure. I said, let's say you're a super genius times 2 plus 2, and you have a quarter of that knowledge yourself. And I drew a little, you do a quarter of that. I said, is it not even reasonable to assume in the knowledge you don't have that there's the existence of God and you just don't know everything? He said, huh. I said, so really you're not an atheist, because you'd have to know everything to be a true atheist, and you don't know everything because I don't know everything. He goes, so then what am I? I thought, I got this guy totally confused now. I said, well, let's just say you're an agnostic. And I said, believe me, the Bible's not any easier on you either. And we had a little car. Everybody believes in something. Okay, so when we talk about faith, immediately we're in church, we're thinking, okay, we're talking about faith and the things of the Bible and that. No, everybody has faith. Everyone believes in something. You had faith to sit in that chair this morning. You had faith. So everybody has faith. Number two about faith, all that have faith have some doubt. There has to be some doubt to faith, or it's not faith. If there's no doubt to what you believe, then it's fact. Now look at me. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 when it says faith has, verse number 1, but look at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When God made the principle of approaching Him the principle of faith, He understood there had to be some degree of doubt involved in that. Okay, it's the account of Jesus coming down from the mountain of transfiguration. The disciples are down there. They're trying to cast the devil out of this man's son. The man said, my son is lunatic. Look that word lunatic up in the Greek, and it's teenager. He said, my son's lunatic. And your fellows couldn't cast the devil out of him. What do you do? And Jesus cast the devil out of him. Before he did, he asked the man, he said, do you believe? And he said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Frankly, this man had more doubt than faith. But it was sufficient. And the Lord cast the devil out of this young man, this boy. There has to be a degree of doubt to faith, or it's not faith. So don't ever feel like, well, I don't have 100% faith. No one does. 100% faith has to have some degree of doubt to it. Please stay with me. Faith also has to have a source. It has to come from somewhere. Skeptics who criticize, and they're always condemning the things of that we believe of faith, of God and creation, the Bible, etc. Skeptics who say, "Are you people, you just believe in something because you want to." But they believe in something. Their faith comes from their mind. What a horrible place to have faith. What an awful source today. Some people, their faith has, everybody's faith has a source. It comes from somewhere. They get faith from something. Somebody says something and they believe it. It's an election year. Look at these people running around. Now they're running around Iowa trying to get everybody to believe what they say. After Tuesday, there are going to be some people that find out they had the wrong source of faith. But the important thing is not that you have faith. The important thing is that you have faith that Hebrews 11:1 talks about. Faith with substance to it. It means faith comes first, substance comes second, but substance will come. But Pastor Johnson, you've never been to heaven. You believe in heaven? I believe in heaven. I believe in heaven. Ask the Cannon family if they believe in heaven today. Ask Miss Jay and her mom this morning, her sister, Jay's sister, Miss Hauser's daughter, Jody, went to heaven very suddenly on Friday, 54 years of age. Believe in heaven? Never been there. Is there substance to that, though? Well, the Bible says faith first, substance second. Now, let me explain to you what that means. That means in my life, if I will have faith first, God will put substance to my faith. Now, people are going to find out all across America, and you're going to find out this year whether you have a faith that has substance to it. That's why people change what they believe all the time. Well, I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. Then you had faith with no substance to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I sort of believe, but I'm waiting to find out. Well, then you're never going to get there. Because if you have the right kind of faith, and we'll show you how to get that in a moment, if you have the right kind of faith, God will put substance to it and produce evidence to give substance to your faith. That's what you want. Now listen now, you don't want to get to the end of 2012 and go, oops, that was a wasted year. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a pastor today who was one time a hippie from the 60s. Liberal-minded as you could shake a stick at. Followed the principles of the great poet philosophers like Henry David Thoreau. Every man marches to the beat of a different drummer. All the junk and stuff that came out of the 60s that most of us don't remember, we won't go into that. But the truth is, we had all these goofy thoughts and ideas, things we used to believe in. I remember when I was out of the will of God, I was searching for some answers of things. I tried Eastern religions, meditation. Used to sit there and chant like a monkey. Yeah, this guy showed me. He said, oh yeah, He believed in transcendental meditation. He said, I meditate every day. He said, it's like your consciousness is this iceberg where the little part shows, but there's more underneath the water, and that's what you do. You go into the depths of your consciousness through meditation, and you do that by chanting. You clear your mind. That doesn't take long. You clear your mind, and then you chant this one or two syllable words over and over again while you just keep your mind clear, and he says you go into the depths of your consciousness, and there you are. I tried that for a while. I got some great naps out of that. Good napping. Whew, great naps. About 4 or 5 chants, and I was in sleepy land. Tried a lot of dumb stuff. Listen to me. The trouble is this. It's not that I didn't believe in it. It's that there wasn't any substance to it. How do you have faith with substance? Number one, you have to get faith from the right source. Since faith has to have a source, then you have to get faith from the right one, the right source. For that faith to have substance, it has to come from something that will produce substance to it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the Bible will produce a faith that has substance to it. That chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, after it explains a few things about faith, by verse 1, about faith having substance and evidence. Verse 2, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That settles all those issues. Then he starts talking about people who by faith did certain things. They were told by God what to do or believe or to practice. They operated on the principle of God told me this, and because they did, they found substance to that. Like Noah, it says here. Noah was told by God to build an ark. He built an ark and saved his entire family. His faith had substance. Noah looked like a fool for 120 years. Builds a boat in a place that had never seen a flood anywhere on the earth before. Animals 2x2, 7 of the sacrificial came to him. He and his wife and Ham, Shem, Japheth, and Miss Ham, Miss Shem, and Miss Japheth, those 8 got in the ark, and everybody else stood outside, thought they were fools until the door closed and the first raindrop fell. And when the first raindrop fell, there was substance to the man's faith because he did what God told him to do. He followed what God said. Now that's where faith has substance. It has to have source. Come from God's Word. God help us today in America. Our churches are getting away from preaching the Bible. It's insane to me. I don't understand the concept. We got all this ego massaging and psychobabble junk going on and entertainment and foolishness going on in our churches and very little Bible. Guess what it's producing? People with no substance in their Christian life. Because faith that has substance has to come from God's Word. So it needs to be rooted in the Word of God. It needs to come from the Word of God. It needs to be taught by the Word of God. His Word needs to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His Word needs to be everything. It needs to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing us unto soul and spirit and joints and marrows, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's alive, ladies and gentlemen, and it's powerful, that book. And our faith needs to be coming from that book. Now, how does it happen? Because faith cometh by reading, and reading by the Word of God. No, it says hearing. And the reason it says hearing is because the word hearing means more than just to listen to it. It means you hear it. You actually listen to what is said. You do more than give mental assent to it. You listen to it like someone is giving you instructions for life, death, choices, direction, and everything in your life. You don't just look at black ink on white paper. You look at this book like it's the Word of God, because that's what it is. It is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And everything that you do and decide in every direction of your life comes from this book. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That comes from trusting God. How do I trust Him? By believing what He said in this book. Hearing it, listening to what it tells you, then heeding it. It means follow what it tells you to do. So our life this year, we're going to find out if we have a faith with substance, if we get that faith from the right source. Otherwise, we're going to find nothing but flawed and failing faith because we put faith in others and people and all sorts of foolishness. So then, please listen. So who does have the final authority in your life? Absolutely, bottom line, you're getting ready to make a decision. What are the principles, what are the terms by which you make that decision? Well, I just sit down and think it out and figure out what's best for me. Then your mind is your source of faith. You're in trouble now. Because the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We're going to get ourselves in serious trouble there. There's certain things that look right to us. Come on, folks, we just finished Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas feasting. We've still got cookies and candy piled up in there. We're trying to figure out how to get rid of them so we can start the diet tomorrow. Let me tell you how you do that. Bring it to my house. I'll eat every stinking one of them. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. Take it to Brother Evan's house. The truth is, we've talked ourselves into all kinds of foolishness. Pizza at midnight. Get up in the middle of the night, go in the kitchen, eat cookies. Because it made sense. Cookies make sense at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, your mind, I'm sorry, but your mind's trouble. For some people, it's not really dangerous because it's barren ground. But the truth is, you're going to get yourself in big, you're going to get yourself in serious trouble. No, excuse me. If you use the Word of God and believe that that book is God's Word on all matters of faith and practice in my life, you'll have a faith, my friend, not only to depend on, but a faith that will produce substance and evidence in your life. I was taught growing up, I was sent to public schools. They didn't have Christian schools when I was a kid, and for Baptist people, for Bible-believing people. I would grow up in public schools. They taught me from the time I was a little kid that I come from monkeys. Go to the zoo and throw peanuts at my relatives. I remember third or fourth grade, I came home with my grandparents at the time. I came home, I said, Gringo, look at this book. This says we evolved over billions of years. I said, that's not what they taught us in Sunday school. God made the world in 6 days. Six, not seven, six. Rested on the seventh, not because he was tired, because he was done. And I said, what do I do about that? She says, you learned that enough to get a good grade, but you believe what the Bible says, Michael Ray. You know, I'm 58 years old. I still don't feel like I've lost anything in life because I don't believe I come from monkeys. Because I don't drive by the zoo and feel bad I didn't stop to visit the relatives. I just feel like I'm not missing anything. Somehow, it didn't make it. I didn't lack anything. By the way, it takes faith to believe in evolution too, because it's still a theory, and that's a faith principle, and you know it's true. But now listen to me. But don't you understand? If the source is from God's Word, it will produce substance in life. So faith that has substance has to have the right source, and the right source is the Word of God. Number two, very quickly this morning, faith that has substance must have the right object. Jesus said it very simply in Matthew: have faith in the government. No. Have faith in yourself. No. Have faith in. Now this seems simplistic, doesn't it? That's not complicated. I don't think we'll need the Greek or the Hebrew on that. There's no Hebrew, it's New Testament. But I don't think we'll need to parse that or break it down, will we? I think we understand what that means. If faith is dependence, trust, belief, reliance, then faith that's going to have substance is, listen now, has to have the right object. You're going to wind up 2012 very disappointed if you have faith in yourself. If you have faith in what they tell you. Well, I think education is the answer to everything. I think education is a wonderful thing, but I don't have faith in my education. I have faith in God's Word, but more importantly, I have faith in the God of that book. Now, I don't mean to add to their sorrow today, but for Miss Hauser and Miss Jay today, and their loved one going to heaven on Friday. You know, sometimes things happen, and you just kind of wonder what is. She was 54 years old. Miss Sandy was 59. Is that correct? No, she was 59 years old. That's young people. We understand someone who gets to an aged part of life, and they go on to heaven. That makes sense because that's the process of life. And okay, that's understandable. But you're not supposed to stay in the graveyard and bury your grandchildren. That's not supposed to be like that. That's not the way it works, is it? Listen to me. But if your faith is in the right object, and that object is the God of heaven, and I hate to use the term object as an inanimate term, because God is not an inanimate object. God is a person, not a man or a human being, but the creator of this universe, who the Bible says always does what's right, and he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the path that I take. Job knew that when he sat in the garbage heap and lost everything in his life, because his faith was in the right object. Listen, his faith was in the right object to begin with. And if your faith is in the right person now, you have faith with substance. There'll be questions we'll have to answer about things. There are questions in my mind about the things and the working of God in my life and the lives of my loved ones and family and of our church family. I don't always understand everything God does. Do you? Yeah, try being a pastor sometime where you have to try to give answers for these things when I don't understand the answer, when it doesn't make any sense to me at all. See, Pastor Johnson, is your faith in God shaken? No, it's not shaken. There's just things I don't understand. But he knows that, because there has to be a degree of doubt to faith, or it's not faith. Some things Jesus told his disciples when they were here and asked him questions. He explained to them that some things you're going to understand now. He said some things you will understand later, and some things you won't understand until you get to heaven. Remember about Job, he never knew what happened to him or why. Excuse me, he never knew why those things happened to him. He never found out till he got to heaven. God never told the man all his loss and suffering, never explained it to him. He never knew why in this life. He only found out when he got to heaven. If you have faith that has substance to it, you have faith in God. You better get it there. Now, quickly, number next. To have faith that has substance, you understand what has to happen next. You have to have faith that is maintained. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, have faith in God, getting faith in God, getting faith from God's Word, having faith in God Himself is one thing. Keeping it there is another. Well, that's a whole other prospect. It has to be maintained. I have to redirect my faith. There's times I read things in the Bible and I think, I don't know, Lord. That's in the Bible and I believe it and I'm going to do it, but I don't understand. There are things that just don't make sense in life. Agreed? And there are things you read in the Bible and you think to yourself, well, wait a minute. After all, this is 2012. I love it when people say that to me. No one said that yet because it's a new year. Most of us are still writing 1984 in our checks, but the truth is we're getting there, right? We look at things and we think, but this is that was in the Bible days. This is, no, excuse me. When God wrote the Bible, it's eternal, this book. The eternal Word of God. And when He wrote that, He knew you'd have to live by it in 2012. And so there are no principles here that won't apply to us. There are no things there. There's nothing there. There are things in the Old Testament they did in sacrifice and worship that we do not. But the Bible's clear about what has changed and what hasn't. What hasn't changed is this. You and I are supposed to be obedient to that book right there. We're supposed to follow it like it is the Word of God and adhere to what it tells us. And as time goes along, we think, well, I mean, it's a bad economy, so I can't tithe. No, what you're saying is God wrote the Bible without realizing there would be times when people would have financial difficulties. God made a mistake. That's what our actions tell God. Well, I believed in God until that happened in my life. And then, oh, excuse me. So then your faith in God. And there is nothing we experience in life that has not been experienced by people of faith over the centuries. In some cases, much worse. When things happen, we stand there. You know what? It's not wrong to scratch your head and wonder. It's just wrong to scratch your head and doubt God. God doesn't know what He's doing. Yes, He does too. Yes, He does too. See, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Johnson. No, it wasn't any easier in 2011 for me than it is for you. It won't be any easier in 2012 for me than it is for you either. When you work with people, you touch the experiences of their lives. There's some things that just amaze me. Brother John's wife, Sandy, she went to heaven Christmas morning. About 9:20. Was that right, Brother John? About 9:20. 11 o'clock in the morning, he was sitting right there in church. So that amazes me. This family sits here and grieves today. They're in church this morning. That amazes me. That's the grace of God. We saw people this year struggled with things in their life financially, but they stayed faithful to God, and God has helped them come through those things. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we have to keep our faith directed to the object, the person, God, and from the source, God's Word, as we have. And don't let anybody talk you out of the Bible, friend. Don't let them tell you the Word of God is not pertinent and it's not relevant and it's not up to date and it's not sufficient for our day today. I say unto you, that is a lie from the devil's hell. That book is true, as true today as it ever been. Matter of fact, I think it's more light for us in this darkened world. We have to keep our faith directed properly. Where is yours today? Say, well, I got a combination. I kind of believe in God and believe in the boss. I believe in God and believe in my bank account. I believe in God and my own strength. I believe in God and this. You've got a divided faith and you're headed for serious trouble. Because God will never fail you, but anything else you put your faith in will fail you eventually. Have faith in God. You have to direct your faith properly. And lastly, this morning, you have a faith with substance. We must have a faith with the right result to it. The right result. What is that? James 2:17, the Bible simply says this: faith without works is dead, being alone. Now let me be clear this morning. He's not talking about faith and works for salvation. There is nothing you can add to the work of salvation Christ has already done. That's a gift paid for by the bloody death of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. There are no works for salvation. There are none. Zero. You have to receive salvation as a free gift, already paid for, and the person who paid for it is Christ. Again, faith comes from the source. God's word tells us that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It has to have faith to have substance, has to be in the right object. That's Jesus for salvation. You have to trust Christ as your Savior, believing he died for you, was buried, rose again 3 days later, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the package of the gospel and eternal life, and you receive that by faith. No works. If you have works in your salvation, you must repent and trust Christ to be saved today. That's essential. So what is James 2:17? Faith without works is dead, being alone. He's talking to people who already have had faith for salvation. Now they say they live by faith, but they don't live by faith. We sang it this morning, first song. Living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting, confiding in his great love. We sang living by faith. Don't you understand? Faith that has substance has a result to it, and the result is action. You do something about what you believe. Again, not for salvation. By the way, not to keep your salvation. You don't deserve salvation, so you, pardon the bad English, you don't undeserve it. It's a gift and it's grace that gives it to you. It's a gift and grace that keeps it that way. But what's this faith without works thing? Faith without works means this. Christian, don't you settle in on this thing of I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Because James 2 also says this. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith comes alive and stays alive when you put some action to that faith. You get busy with say what you say you believe. Well, I believe and go on to church, and you show up a couple times a year. What kind of junk is that? That's not faith. That's something you believe. But that's not faith. Faith says, well, the Bible says I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is. Then you better get in. Don't you understand? And that's just one area. We say, well, I believe in prayer. Question, how much do you pray? Come on. Your prayer life is deader than Job's turkey, friend, because you're not praying. We believe in prayer. We believe God hears us. We know we have an intercessor, Jesus, as seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for us, and we don't use the access he's given us. See why there's no life to dead faith. But you put works to it, it brings it to life. Now there's action to that thing. We say we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And only salvation through Christ will save you. Question, who are you telling about that? Look at all these Christians today. They've got their bumper stickers and they got their salvation. They've got all this stuff. They're not telling anybody about that. That's awful. How can you have something so amazing as the forgiveness of God, eternal life, a home in heaven, and not sharing that with anyone? You saw that at Christmas time. Those children, grandchildren, they opened those presents. Did they get excited or what? Huh? I mean, they were pumped because they got a Hello Kitty phone. And they showed it to you like it was the jewels, the crown jewels from the Tower of London. Woo! Look what I got, Gramps. We have eternal life and salvation, and we don't tell anybody about anything. Something's wrong with that. By the way, and that's why our faith is not working. It's because we're not working it. See, then you put, because when you start to act upon your faith, faith doesn't just come alive, it comes alive to you. Now we get it. Oh, that's how it works. I like to hear people give testimonies about answers to prayer. What God did for Brother Randy and Becky Smith this year, answers to prayer. Melanie Reinhardt, she's in her Spanish-speaking service this morning. She came up with an answer to prayer yesterday. I like to hear answers to prayer. I like to see them better than that. I like to bow my knee and say, dear God, here is a need. And our family and our church family, dear God, please help here. And then God answers prayer. Your faith comes alive. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You want faith with substance? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then we need to make sure we have faith with substance. Starts with the Bible, continues with God. Make sure you keep it where God, where you got it from, keep it right. Keep the main thing, as they say. And then put some action to your faith and see if it doesn't come alive. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.